This is a Caruso's Archives production, made possible with the generous sponsorship of the Hedzlacy Cultural Heritage Fund, which is managed by the Balkan Museums Network.
Welcome to the Speronians Podcast, where we explore the extraordinary. I'm your host, Speros Moraes. I am the CEO of the Caruso's Archives, working on cultural diachronia, a great initiative of the organization. This podcast, The Speronians, is part of this initiative. Although the episodes will start next Easter, I wanted to share with you some thoughts of a dear friend of mine. So today we have a very special guest, Christophoros the Cynocephal. I came across him while passing through the mountains. I know Chris for a long time. I met him in 1859 in Paris at the summit, where, among other things, the agenda included the salvation of dog-headed people and other similar species. Chris has two natures, that of a man and a dog. Extensive studies have been conducted, and various conflicting articles have been written about dog-headed people, cynocephals. However, Chris was not deterred by the hostile attitudes. He also believes that today, due to the advancement of technology and science, such as artificial intelligence and hybrid entities, as well as due to campaigns against all forms of racism, he will be able to communicate with the world again, as he did in the past. Hello, Chris. Thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
Hello, Speros. Thanks for inviting me.
It's an honor. Christophoros, I could say that you are a legend on a global level. Many people have been very interested in you. Researchers, theologians, and historians have written hundreds of texts. Painters and sculptors have painted and sculpted you many times. Would you please tell us about this?
I don't understand why some people make such ado about me. From my point of view, I don't think I've become a legend. I feel it more like bullying due to my difference. Augustine said that whoever has been born anywhere and is a rational and mortal being, regardless of the unusual appearance they may present in color, movement, sound, or in how special they are in some power or quality of their nature, no Christian can doubt that they are a child of God. Humans have not always existed, nor are they destined to exist in perpetuity. Also, justice and social solidarity are far from being perfect, even relatively speaking. So I've spent my whole life on the margins, even though I've been canonized.
As your dear friend, I know you're absolutely right. I know firsthand about the bullying you've endured. I'm also a witness to your holiness and high spirituality. But tell me, who were those who marginalized you?
The burden of my marginalization falls mostly on historians, ethnographers, rulers, and writers. In order to dramatize scenes of battles and conflicts, and thus be portrayed as heroic figures, they ended up portraying cynocephals as monstrous and savage. From Alexander the Great to Warner Bros., I'm a monster. As you can imagine, so many centuries have passed that this deliberate distortion has become an accepted fact.
But there were others who didn't deform you for the sake of their own greatness. I have the impression that the painters depicted you much closer to what you truly are.
Yes, of course. The fidelity to my form as a dog-headed person in frescoes and icons comes from the late Ottoman period, especially the 17th and 18th centuries in folk provincial paintings. I should add here that in manuscripts I'm depicted as I am since the 11th century. However, my favorite portrait is in the Monastery of the Holy Trinity in Kalavryta.
Yes, I remember. We went together and saw it. It's a really beautiful portrait. But please tell me, why did post-Byzantine painters choose to depict you as you truly are, and not with the monstrous form that had prevailed in texts for so long, or with a human head? I believe this is based on your holiness. But is there something else?
The answer lies in the difference of mentality between East and West. Christianity has Eastern roots, where difference plays no role. According to John of Damascus, there are two creations, the subscribed and the unsubscribed. The latter refers to God. The subscribed is what contains our universe. Within the subscribed, there are various but equal substances, because none outweigh the unsubscribed. So, I'm no different from another human, even though I have a dog's head. With this conceptual framework, painters depicted me as I am.
And how does the Western mentality differ?
These concepts became a starting point for conflicts and divisions within the church. Both the Great Schism and the Enlightenment deprived me of my existence. Anthropocentrism caused me great problems. Also, as I said before, my true representation was initially found in folk provincial wall paintings. This culture was silenced when Catholicism and the Enlightenment promoted human superiority over all other animals in the animal kingdom.
I hear you. But why in the biblical creation did God say, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness"? Doesn't this represent the absolute separation of the man from the other animals?
In order for man to play the role of the plenipotentiary and representative of the Almighty, the Western world overlooked the development of the narrative in the statement, "In our image and likeness." The fall happened only to man, to no other creature. This fall, which was probably misinterpreted, became the cause of the disruption of man's relationship with the rest of creation. It is a disruption whose dramatic consequences we are experiencing more than ever today. I have not heard of any other creature in the animal kingdom suffering such a fall.
That's for sure, my dear.
And after all, as you can see, the bullying I suffer is twofold. On the one hand, it comes from the prevailing Western idea that what is good in man is due to his proximity to the divine, and what is bad is due to his proximity to other animals. On the other hand, it comes from my appearance and has to do with the standards and stereotypes of Western aesthetics. However, in Christianity, before the schism, the dualism of good and bad that developed with Cartesian logic did not exist. Also, aesthetics is a term that was born in the 18th century. I grew up with completely different perceptions.
Yes, I understand. You raised very important points. I also think that everything you told us today has taken on greater dimensions, and the distortions are becoming even greater. What do you think could change to regain your existence, stop the bullying you constantly experience, and liberate culture from the biases that govern it?
I believe that science and technology will help overcome the stereotypes that have become ingrained. Of course, the best thing for this change would be a united church. Also, religion and science should cooperate again. Today, such a unified Christianity would create a unique culture that we have never seen before.
Absolutely. Your message is very powerful. Anything else to say before we close?
Let me appropriate the hymn of love of the Apostle Paul. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
What a beautiful text. Thank you, Christophros, for sharing your story with us. Your courage and strength are truly an inspiration to all of us.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening to us. The first season of the Speronians podcast will begin in April. Until then, you can follow me on social media. My profile is called Speros Moreas, S-P-Y-R-O-S, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. You can also have visuals of our stories and podcast on speronians.com.